Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, listeners. Richard Barter here. Talking about transport in New Zealand. And first, a little thank you to Anne-Marie Khoury for standing in for me last week. I was at a conference in Christchurch, the Asia Pacific Cycling Congress, which was a great place to be. Everyone who was involved in things, cycling, planning, paths, bikes, was there, and it was a fun week. Hey, today we've got a great interview lined up with Alistair Smith, who has been a cyclist for many years. He's an author of a book called Everyday Cycling in Aotearoa, and he's also been involved in the Cycling Action Network and Cycle Aware Wellington for many, many years. And so it's fantastic to have Alistair speak with us today. And the topic we're looking at today is e-bikes. These are becoming very, very popular, and certainly in Europe, and Alistair will be able to tell you much more about this. I think about almost one in every four bikes being sold today has electrical assist. So, Alistair, welcome. Lovely to have you along.
Kia ora, Richard. Yeah, it's good to be on the program, and this is, I think, quite an important topic for seniors because a lot of us are finding that electric assist and bicycles is a combination that gives us a very significant amount of freedom and mobility.
Marvellous. Tell us about your experiences or involvement with e-bikes, Alistair.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, before I got into e-bikes, I was a very keen cyclist back in the 70s. My partner and I spent a year or so cycling around Europe, and we came back very much in a cycling mindset for our transport. So since then, bicycles have been the default way in which we get around. Quite often go cycling on trips overseas. At one stage, or a couple of years ago, we got involved in using folding bikes, which are great in Europe. But I, with sort of various medical issues, I was finding it harder to ride a standard bike. Living in Wellington, there's the constant challenge of hills, and in fact I got to the point where I could no longer ride up the hill to my home up above the Arrow Valley in Wellington. So I started looking at electric assist bikes, and that really did open up the possibilities a lot, and I've become very enthusiastic about them, and I think they are a way in which people can solve the ongoing problems of mobility as you get older. I think it's important to recognise that you're not having all the work done for you. They're not motorbikes. The rule that the New Zealand Transport Agency works to is that in order to be regarded as an e-bike, the primary power comes from the legs of the user, not from the electric motor. So the electric motor is assisting you, but it's not doing all the work. And the great thing actually is that you can choose the extent of assistance you want. Yes. Most e-bikes have a range of power settings, so if you feel like you do need a workout, you can have a low power setting and be not that much different from a standard bike. If you're tired at the end of the day and just want to get home quickly and have tea, you can put it on a higher power setting and not have to do too much effort, or perhaps more importantly for some people, you don't have to get too sweaty.
Great, great. Hey, e-bikes, how long have they been around? Tell us about the history of what's happened with e-bikes up till today.
Well, the interesting thing is that e-bikes actually go a very long way. Of course, the first, if you like, personal vehicles for roads were bicycles. We're celebrating the 200th year of the invention of the original velocipede. We saw bicycles becoming common in the 1880s and 90s. And by the 1890s, people were experimenting with various forms of motor assist. There were steam-powered bicycles, and there were, as you're probably well aware, petrol-powered motorbikes, but there were, even in the 1890s, electrically assisted motorbikes. And so that history goes back quite a way. Now, for various reasons of technology and so forth, it was motor-assisted or petrol-powered assistance that won out several decades. But I think we started to see electrically assisted bikes in the last 10, 20 years starting to emerge. I think particularly in China, where bicycles had been the predominant form of transport, but they were recognising that some technology assistance could be useful. Chinese manufacturers were good at producing small motors that could be attached to bicycles. So that's probably where we first started to see the modern e-bike, if you like.
Yes, I was in Shanghai in June and noticed a whole kind of class of... They almost look like motorised scooters with a seat on them. They're very quite different. They had a big sort of flat base and a seat and a motor underneath, and they could carry enormous amount of goods on sort of carriers and trailers, and a whole kind of class of vehicles, of electrically... two-wheeled electric vehicles that we just simply haven't seen here. Hey, we're just going to take a little break to listen to my favourite musician, Ella Fitzgerald. She's going to sing a song to us now, I Get a Kick Out of You. I thought that's a good theme for today's talk about e-bikes.
My story is much too sad to be told, but practically everything leaves me totally cold. The only exception I know is the case when I'm out on a quiet spree, fighting vainly the old ennui, and I suddenly turn and see your fabulous face. I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true I get a kick out of you? Some get a kick from cocaine. I'm sure that if I took even one sniff, that would bore me terrifically too. I get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you're standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to me you obviously don't adore me. I get no kick in a plane, flying too high with some guy in the sky is my idea of nothing to do. Get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you stand. a kick, though it's clear to me you obviously don't adore me. I get no kick in a plane flying too high with some guy in the sky. Yet I get a kick out of you. I get a kick out of you.
Isn't that lovely? I get a kick out of you, sung by Ella Fitzgerald and the Buddy Bregman and his orchestra. I just love that so much. Hey, we've got Alistair Smith with us today, a long-term cycling advocate and author. We're talking about e-bikes. Tell me, Alistair, what type of e-bikes are there out on the market today?
Okay, the choice can seem confusing when you first start looking at e-bikes. But broadly, there are two main types. One is the hub drive e-bike, where the electric motor sits in the hub of the wheel. That's the simplest and cheapest way to provide the assistance. A slightly more sophisticated but more efficient way to put the motor is to put it in the crank, basically sitting where the pedals go round in the middle of the bike, and that's called either crank drive or mid drive. And I think in the last year or so, we've definitely seen a move that the crank drive or mid drive is becoming the default technology. So I guess one suggestion would be that probably if you're buying an e-bike now, you'd probably be wise to look at crank drives. Now, that can make it in a way a bit simpler, because although there are a great many brands of e-bikes, the two main motor systems that predominate at the moment, and I'm trying to avoid getting too technical here, but the two main motor systems are Bosch and Shimano Steps, and both of those are producing very efficient, very reliable mid-drive, or also termed crank drive, motor systems that are fitted in a variety of makes and models of bikes. So if you've got a reputable brand of mid-drive motor, such as Shimano Steps or Bosch, you can probably be pretty confident that you're getting a reasonably good quality e-bike. E-bikes are not cheap, and we may want to talk a little bit about that later. But you can buy a reasonably good quality mid-drive motor now, bike with a mid-drive motor, for in the $3,000 to $4,000 range. You can get e-bikes that are cheaper, but particularly the hub drives, $2,000 to $3,000, but they're probably not going to be as good quality, although there are some bargains there. But probably you should be looking at a mid-drive motor and something in the $3,000 to $4,000 range.
If I wanted to go riding off-road, or if I wanted to fold up my bike and put it in the car, can I get something like that with the motor?
That's correct. Yeah. There's quite a variety of models now within those. There are electrically assisted folding bikes. I don't have one myself. My folding bike is unpowered, but I've got a couple of friends that come riding with us regularly who have folding electric bikes, and they're very enthusiastic about them. You can also get a range of styles, and that's probably where, once you've decided on your basic motor system. That's probably what you want to look at. Are you interested in, for example, mountain biking? Or are you interested in perhaps fast road riding? Or are you interested in perhaps more leisurely utility riding, going to the office, to the shops, and so forth?
Well, that's interesting, because that leads me on to my next question. Many listeners may not have ridden a bicycle since they were possibly quite young. So if they were interested in considering an e-bike, what do you think the next step might be for them?
I'd definitely find a supplier, a local supplier who specialises in e-bikes, and get their advice. In Wellington, for example, we have a firm, Switched On Bikes, and another one, Wellington Electric Bikes, that specialise in electric bikes. And I'm sure if you're in another centre, there probably are similar firms popping up. I would recommend you go to someone who specialises in electric bikes or has a high proportion of their sales in electric bikes. You can get a lot of bargains on the internet, but you do have to be a bit careful there, because although the quality of electric bikes is improving, there is still the possibility that you might have a mechanical issue, and that's a lot easier to sort out if you can go to a local supplier than if you're dealing with someone at the other end of the country.
Tell us about some of the benefits I could get from riding an e-bike.
Very definitely that you get health and exercise benefits. As I mentioned, you can choose the level of assistance that you want. So if you do want to keep fit or get fit, an e-bike does give you that option. You did actually say one of the things to think about if you were perhaps an older person thinking of taking up e-bikes, and if you haven't ridden a bike for a while, that is something to be careful of, because there is some evidence that people who jump straight on an e-bike without having ridden bikes for a while can get into trouble. They are heavier, they're faster. And it is quite important to take that into account when you're getting used to an e-bike, particularly if you haven't used a bike for quite a while. There are organisations around the country that do training and short courses for e-bikes. Here in Wellington, the Regional Council runs its Pedal Ready courses, and they've got courses specifically for adults using electric bikes. And in fact, we had a tryout session last week organised by the Wellington City Council, that they organised to rent some e-bikes, and a group of over 65s ran up, pedalled up Mount Victoria and learnt some of the benefits of e-bikes. I think one thing is to be a bit careful, particularly in the first few weeks, and to try before you buy. I would suggest that you do try a range of e-bikes before you commit yourself. They are relatively expensive investment, so it's probably good to make sure that you are happy with what you're getting. The most reputable suppliers will be happy to let you take a ride for an hour or so. You can quite possibly rent them for a day or so, which could be an excellent idea to make sure that they do suit your needs. Do some of the typical rides you might want to do in Wellington. Definitely make sure you can get up any hills that you want to tackle. It is a good idea to try before you buy.
Yes, that's interesting. I will disclose that we do have a couple of bicycles at home that have electric assistance. One is a cargo bike, which I had a crank motor fitted to recently. I still ride unassisted by power around on the flat, but if I've got a heavy load on, it's just what's needed to get up the hill coming home. The other bike we have is a folding one with an electric motor, and I initially bought that, and it's something which listeners perhaps will be interested in. I initially bought it because it was a little under 20 kgs with the thought of taking it around the country on the aeroplane, but I discovered that because e-bikes have lithium batteries, you can't take them on an aeroplane. I do, however, take it regularly on the bus. All over the Upper North Island, I've taken it on the bus for work, and it works very well in that case. Other problems with e-bikes? We hear about the speed pedelec, terms like speed pedelec, and bikes that go, well, are sort of almost more like electric motorbikes than bicycles.
Yeah, I guess it's probably worth just running through the regulations here.
Yes.
In New Zealand, for an e-bike to be regarded as equivalent to a bicycle, it has to have a power of no more than 300 watts. That's sort of on the principle that that's not that much different from what a fit human being can produce. So the idea is that the electric power is assisting rather than being the primary source of power. The Europeans have got a slightly different standard. They allow up to 250 watts rather than the 300 watts we have, but they also have a speed limit. Once you get to 25 kilometres an hour, the power gradually cuts out, so that you can't use, you can ride faster than 25 kilometres an hour, but after 25 kilometres an hour, you're on your own. You have to do it by yourself. Now, I've had two electric bikes. The first one was just purely the New Zealand standard 300 watt with no speed limit, and then my second one, it has the European standard 250 watts and 25 kilometres an hour. And I'd have to say in practical terms that there isn't a lot of difference between them. In Europe, there is a newer e-bike standard that you referred to, the speed pedelec or S-pedelec, which allows a larger power, about 500 watts, and also allows speed up to, I think, 40 or 45 kilometres an hour. In practice, that's not an enormous amount, but in New Zealand at the moment, technically, a bike of that power would have to be registered as a moped. And so there's a point to make that if you can have electric bikes any power you like and do any speed you like, but if they're above 300 watts, they have to be registered as a moped or as a motorbike. Now, if you're trying to make a comparison between an electric bike and an actual electric motorbike, you have to bear in mind that even a small 50cc motorbike is generating something like 4,000 watts. So you're actually looking at over 10 times the power of a standard electric bike. So you really are in a different order of magnitude if you're talking about electric motorbikes. It's a bit unclear where the regulations will go. I know NZTA are looking at some changes to the regulations, but it's a bit unclear at this point. But I think you can be reasonably certain that any bike you buy as an electric bike at the moment, you will be able to ride as an ordinary bike into the future.
Great. Hey, we're going to listen to Ella Fitzgerald again with the lovely song called I've Got Rhythm.
Days can be sunny with never a sigh. Don't need what money can buy. Birds in the trees sing their day full of song. Why shouldn't we sing? All the day, happy with my lot. How do I get that way? Look at what I've got. I got rhythm,
got music. I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? I got daisies in green pastures. I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? Old man trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him round my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams. I got my man. Who could ask for anything more?
Hello again, listeners. I Got Rhythm by Ella Fitzgerald and the Nelson Riddell and his orchestra. Hey, we're just coming close to the end of our time, speaking to Alistair Smith about e-bikes. Now, Alistair, you mentioned you're part of the Cycling Action Network, and it's developed a policy on e-bikes, which I believe you've had a bit to do with.
Yes, we got concerned a few years ago that what did electric bikes mean? I mean, overall, electric bikes are tremendously positive for cycling. I think CAN's policy is to get more people on bikes more often, and there's no doubt that's what electric bikes do. Interestingly, many people actually find that they use them as an alternative to a car. We're finding people are perhaps getting an electric bike rather than a second car, for example. The main thrust of our policy was to ensure that electric bikes continued to be regarded as ordinary bicycles, so that people using electric bikes can use cycle paths such as the magnificent Arafiti in Auckland, or the new cycle paths that are appearing in Christchurch. So we felt it's important that legally the bicycle is regarded as the same as an electric bicycle for regulation purposes. One slightly thorny area, you mentioned the possibility of going mountain biking on an electric bike. The mountain bike community is still a bit divided on the benefits and potential costs of allowing electric bikes in mountain bike areas. So if you do have a mountain bike style electric bike, be a bit sensitive to that. Have a talk to people about whether it's appropriate to use an electric bike in a particular area you might want to go mountain biking in.
Fantastic. Hey, well, thank you so much for your time today, Alistair. We really appreciate it. Main theme to come through, talk to a reputable dealer. Don't cut costs. And friends, lovely to be with you today. My number, 021-277-1213. Love to hear from you. You're welcome to send a text about any issues that you might like to hear about regarding transport and our elder generation in New Zealand. Thank you very much. Lovely to be with you. Bye-bye for now.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/SeniorFocus, and do note Senior Focus